if you would hold on just a minute. In Anchorage, Steve Clear, Agenda Young, are you with us?
They just left.
Oh, I'm very, apologize to him, please, for us. And Jandy Young?
She was here to answer questions. She's gone also.
Okay. And going on to Kenai LIO, Lori Churchill, are you there?
Yes, gentlemen, I'm here.
So, Lori, you had a chance to hear what we did. I apologize for not getting it to you. This goes on to finance. You'll have an opportunity to speak there. We have made substantial changes and moved it on to finance. Do you have any comments or concerns with what was done?
We're just mainly concerned about significant changes that will impair the general public's availability of public information as far as financial disclosures, and that's our primary objective, is to make sure that, for the most part, APOC is able to function to provide educational information to the public, that the public has the right to know where special legislation or special influence is influencing our legislators. You see, I'm a little tongue twisted there.
Well, thank you, Lori, and I think, I'm sure you'll agree that the improvement that we're facing in electronic filing will make that information available much quicker. So I think there's some real advantages there in terms of full disclosure. We should know who contributed to whose campaign almost immediately rather than waiting weeks and weeks.
Yes, and I would agree that I think that would be beneficial to the public, that they would have access to that information quite a bit sooner.
Okay, thank you very much, Laura. Again, I apologize for not getting back to you. My mistake entirely.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Barbara, I'm sorry to delay you there, but now we are back to House Bill 34, and you were just getting up some steam here.
I was just getting up some steam. Now I'll get it up again here.
Okay.
We'll keep going. I am Barbara Cotting, staff person for Representative Holm, and he is unable to be here because he is on the House floor. Negotiated regulation making, which we fondly call NEGREG, was passed in statute in 1998, and that bill has a sunset of July 1 this year. So in order to keep this process in statute, it's important that we get this bill passed before the end of this session. In your packets, you have a couple of examples of how this process has been very successfully used by the Department of Environmental Conservation and also the Department of Revenue with respectively cruise ship disposal, waste disposal, and also charitable gaming regulations. Now, these are two really contentious issues, and it's been very, very fortunate that we had NEGREG in statute, because the process was formally used in both of those cases to come up with successful regulations that have not been disputed. One advantage to this process is that it eliminates public appeals and lawsuits after the regs have been implemented, which can become extremely expensive. I also note 2-0 fiscal notes that you have here, and the Department of Revenue has under their analysis, the tax division of the Department of Revenue last year used the negotiated regulation making process to draft and adopt new regulations for charitable gaming and found the process useful and effective. And I have their report in your packets on how that was utilized. That's a really contentious issue. And those that were here a couple of years ago can remember the cruise ship waste disposal being an awfully contentious issue. Both of those were resolved with very great success using this process. So it's really important that it stay in statute. The regulations that result are way more practical and enforceable and business friendly because the business folks are in on the negotiations from the start. So a speedy passage of this will make sure that the process remains in statute. For the sake of brevity, I didn't request anybody to be on teleconference, but I could have had lots of friendly testimony. I just felt we didn't really need it, nor have the time for it.
Well, thank you, Ms. Cotting. Well, we do have Craig Tillery, who's at Anchorage LIO, ready to answer questions if anybody has them, and Thank you very much for your testimony.
Yeah.
Any questions or comments?
How often, if somebody, how often is this used?
Is Mr. Tillery, are you there, or Barbara?
Mr. Tillery can probably tell us.
Mr. Tillery, in Anchorage, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Did you hear the question from Senator Cowdery?
Mr. Chairman, I did. For the record, my name is Craig Tillery. I'm Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law. The negotiated rulemaking, to my knowledge, has been used twice with the cruise ship regulations and the charitable gaming. It was also, however, used as a, not, wasn't technically followed, but it was used as a model with respect to the non-tank vessel legislation and regulations.
Thank you, sir.
So, one follow-up.
Yes, follow-up, Senator Cowdery.
What negative impact would be if the law was allowed to sunset July 1st?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cowdery, the negative impact is that we would no longer have this law available to follow it. There would be, it would not be in the books. It wouldn't be available as a model, and it wouldn't be available for something that we could follow, that we could sort of follow the letter of the law. We don't think, I mean, the administration, I should say, is not taking a position on this bill. We have reviewed it. There are no legal problems with it. We believe it's drafted. It accomplishes the intent of the sponsors. It is not something that is necessary in all or even most regulatory process. In fact, it's a fairly rare tool, but it is a tool that in some instances works very well, and it has a place in the toolbox.
And so this seems to me that it is a tool, as we call it, that certainly brings to the table the business entities that have problems or anything that you can work out and understand the problems better. Is that sort of correct?
Senator, that is correct.
Thank you. I'll support the bill.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Barbara. And thank you, Craig, for your answers. Motion to move it out, Senator Cowdery.
I would like to move House Bill 34 out with individual recommendations with fiscal notes and ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Senator Cowdery. Is there any objection? We will move that out then. The last bill we'll deal with is HB 114, issuance of search warrants. Thank you, Barbara. Yes, sir. Good to see you. If you please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Doug Wolliver. I'm the administrative attorney for the Alaska court system. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for scheduling this bill today. This is a short bill, and I hope not to take up too much of your time. House Bill 114 was introduced in the legislature by request to the state Supreme Court to address a somewhat technical problem with the way judges are allowed to accept testimony from peace officers who are requesting a search warrant. Under normal circumstances, when a judge and an officer are in the same community, the common practice is that the officer fills out an affidavit, signs it, brings it to court, and is available for questions. Other times, the officer can just drop off the warrant, and the judge can decide based on the application, decide on the application itself. There are no problems with the way that system works. The problem comes in when the judge and the officer are not in the same community. Now, current law has addressed that, which, by the way, is frequent in Alaska, where we have huge expanses, and it's not uncommon for the judge and the officer to be a long ways apart. Current law allows an officer to fax in an application for a search warrant and to testify telephonically, but only in circumstances where the item to be searched is in danger of being lost or destroyed. And that standard simply can't be met in many, many circumstances. And in fact, one of those circumstances came up while we were drafting this bill. Village police officer in Togiak seized luggage off an inbound aircraft he had reason to believe contained bootleg alcohol. Well, he seized the item, but he needs a search warrant to open it. But because he seized it, it's not in danger of being lost or destroyed. So he can't fax in an application, can't talk to the judge on the phone to get a search warrant. So the practice is in rural Alaska is that that officer will then call another officer in Dillingham, a trooper in Dillingham, if one's available. And that tells the story to that trooper. That trooper then goes and relays the story to the judge in person and tries to get the warrant that way. The problems that come up, of course, is because now it's going through a third party and the officer testifying doesn't have the same knowledge the officer in the field has, but that officer can't testify. The other scenario where this comes up is frequent in Talkeetna, is just is one example, but it's on the road system. It's not part of the village problem, but the police officers will go do what they call a knock and talk in Talkeetna, where they're called to a resident, say, at night. Trooper arrives at the residence and smells marijuana grow. So it's in the shed. Well, now, because the troopers are present, the shed's not in danger of being lost or destroyed, so they can't call in from Talkeetna to Anchorage, where the only magistrate is available at night. So, and this is what they really do. One trooper stays in Talkeetna, the other trooper drives all the way into Anchorage, petitions the court to get the search warrant, tells the judge the same thing he or she would have told the judge over the phone, gets the search warrant, and then drives all the way back to Talkeetna. Now, not only does this delay the investigation, but it basically takes two troopers out of service for the 4 hours or perhaps longer it takes to drive all the way and get the warrant and drive back. So all this bill does is it adds one sentence to the law that allows a judge to accept a fax affidavit or telephonic testimony so that the judge can take into account the practical impact that the delay would have on the investigation. The language is, or would interfere with an ongoing investigation. So if there's going to be a practical problem with not being able to accept the testimony or the facts because it's going to not only cause a delay, but that delay is going to interfere with the ongoing investigation, then the judge has the discretion, and the judge doesn't have to accept this. If he or she has some reason to believe that he really wants that officer in front of him or her, can still require that. But if the judge is satisfied that that's not a problem and that this is going to interfere with an ongoing investigation, the judge can accept that fax or that telephonic testimony. And it's important to note that this bill does not in any way change all the other laws that govern the actual issuance of the search warrant. There still has to be probable cause, it can still be challenged, all those other factors are still at play. It just makes it easier to get the question before the judge so that he or she can address that question on the merits. This version of the bill was drafted with input from the public defender, Department of Law, the court, the troopers, and that's all it does. I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Mr. Oliver. I appreciate your explanation of it. We also have Matt Levesque on the line for any questions we may have in on the off-net. Questions or comments? Basically, I guess in the end, this in no way changes the judge's standards of what he requires for proof or evidence. It doesn't change that at all. It just changes the quickness of which we can respond.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
I appreciate a motion then to move this out.
I would move committee substitute for House Bill 114, Judiciary, with a title amendment to the next committee of referral to the Constitutional.
Thank you, Senators. Any objection to that? We will move it out then.
Thank you.
Day-to-day. Amazing, isn't it? Thank you, Doc.
Are you considered a lobbyist?
No, because I'm a state employee.
Oh, you're a state employee.
Yes, okay. We are adjourned. Thank you.